All right, let's stand up and let's talk about our moms today. Moms, you make the difference in everyone's life. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. We're going to stick with our theme of traction. Everybody say traction. And Paul says something that I think every mother instills in every single one of us about not being ashamed of who we are. Moms encourage us. Whether she, you know, what I love about moms is they don't try to guide us. They recognize usually by the second child or by the third child that they're not all the same. All the kids are not the same. Candace was easy. We raise her with ease. The next one, not so easy. So I strapped her to a horse and said, yeah! If he comes back, I'll raise her as my own. He came back, so. Of course, he wanted to eat, that's why. Hallelujah. But moms, you make a difference. You make us to where we're not ashamed of what we do because you help us win by the principles that you teach us. The principles that are inside of us are so vitally important, and moms make that investment in their kids every day. So with that, I want to read to you in verses 16 and 17 where it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, let me stop right there. I'm going to address something right here real quick. Hey, this is a church. You are a Christian. And if you're not, then I aim to make that change. It's my job to help you find Jesus Christ. But listen, one time I made the mistake at Longmont High School of going to an offensive line Thursday night playbook review and game plan strategy. I made the mistake of going without the playbook. Everybody say, that's a bad deal. Yeah, that was a bad deal. Because the tight ends went with the offensive line because we had a running offense and tight ends had to block. You don't just get to run out, fancy pants, catch the ball and run down the field. You had to block. I didn't bring my playbook. I couldn't follow along. When the coach called on me, what would you do, Rick, in this blocking situation? I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how important it was to bring the playbook. Listen, I got on first service too. It wasn't this easy. Bring your playbook. If you don't have one, look on over somebody's shoulder. Share with somebody. But next week, bring your playbook. Amen? Amen? Bring it with you because we need to be getting into the Word so we know what we're doing. All right. I'll be nice. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the what? Power of God unto what? For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the what? The righteousness of God is revealed from what? Faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity today on this wonderful, happy Mother's Day that we have here, that we are going to be happy with who moms have helped us to become and to be. I thank you, Jesus, that every saved person in this room probably has a mom that influenced them in some way. And every person that is away from Jesus Christ, Lord, we just pray for them that they would find you as their Lord and Savior today and that their life would change and that eternity would be changed for them. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks again for being here. You know, moms, we are blessed in this country to this date because moms of any community make a nation great. Did you know that the family structure is based on the mom? Mom, this is Mother's Day. On Father's Day, I'll say fathers. But mom, my mom is probably watching right now by Facebook. And so I have to say all these things just right for mom. Love you, mom. But moms, listen seriously. The strength of a community, the strength of a nation is on the shoulders of our moms. Please don't quit doing the job that you do so well. Please don't quit investing in our children. Please don't quit investing in our grandchildren. Please don't quit investing in the child that you're not even related to, that you serve and that you teach and that you've helped and that you help them see and overcome things in life. Please don't stop making that investment in other people's lives around you at the work and a job that might be a younger lady that like Titus says, older ladies, train up the younger ladies. Teach them to be chaste. Teach them the finer things of life. So moms, we need you. Boy, do we need you ever, as ever in this nation. Because without you, the family structure falls apart. The family structure can't make it. In the days that I grew up in, back in the 70s and 60s, I found that the greatest way to honor my mom, she was happy with a bouquet of flowers, and she was happy with a card. But I think that something on the inside of her was more quality. And as I reviewed my thoughts for this message and for all the moms that I wanted to honor today, I hope I speak for you. And that I think the greatest way for any of us children to honor our mom is to reflect the tremendous principles and values that our moms placed and put inside of us. That means that with that value and that raising and that training of no, you can't do that times 1 million, you finally got it. And when you finally got it, you said, I can go anywhere and do anything, and this applies to that. Simply respecting your, remember those words? Respect your elders. Respect those in authority. It paid dividends for us because we understood that when we respected those in authority, it was much better for us than when we rebelled against those which were in authority. We understood that we needed to respect those in positions that could speak into our lives. And you know, when we address and when we allow someone to speak into our life, whether it's father or mother or anyone at all, an elder or a man in the church, a woman in the church, when we allow that to happen, the Holy Spirit can take that honor and create what I'm going to call today for you, potential, developing your potential into spiritual maturity. You see, that word ashamed, when Paul said, I am not ashamed the gospel. It's because somewhere along the line, he got something inside of him that said, I have enough knowledge and understanding that I am not going to be ashamed of what God has done for me. I mean, what is there to be ashamed of? So then, therefore, he went forward and he did things. He took the principle. See, you can go be anything you want to go be. Moms know that they can't formulate one plan and it's good for all. You have to speak differently to each child. You have to speak into their hearts and encourage them. Once you see their gift, you speak differently to that child. Why? Because you don't want cookie-cutter children. While they all may look alike because they're from the same father and mother, they're different on the inside, and moms know that. Moms, you celebrate that. You help them procure that. And so keep doing that. But I got to tell you today, moms, you give us principles. You give us self-worth and value that we can go be construction workers. We can go airplane pilot. We can do whatever you want to do in life. We can be a baker, candlestick maker. You knew I was going to go there. The only one I left out was the butcher. But you can go be anything you want to be when you have the right kinds of values in your life. So, for me, the truest way for me to reveal to my mom how much I really honor her is through the revelation of my maturity, that I've matured. Yeah, the flowers and the card is great. It says it for the moment. But when the flowers are dead and the card's in the drawer, I promise you the one thing that mom will look at is the thing that you took and put the tire on the road in your life that mom gave you. It is so valuable, moms. I can't speak highly enough of it. You're challenged with helping the kids understand their potential and learn how, now listen to this, learn how, help the child learn how to develop their own potential. If there's one thing missing in society today, in the world that I see is that children don't know how to go out and get it themselves. They don't know how to procure that potential. How do I turn these gifts and talents that I have into something that God would call me to be or to do? You see, I truly believe that, you know, God is bound by His word. He will fulfill His promises in your life. But He's not going to fulfill your potential. What? Pastor? No, God's not going to fulfill it. He, in the Bible, He gave men talents. And then He said, you go and make an investment for me. One went out and invested it. Another one put it in the bank and said, hey, at least it'll make treasury, usury, or interest. And one went out and buried it and said, I knew you would get after me if I lost this. And that man said, take that from him and give it to one that will do something with it. He was chastising, he was correcting, he was encouraging the guy that did nothing with it to at least go do something that it has a chance to make it. If you fail, moms are so good at picking us up and saying, come on, you can make it. Moms are so good at training us in the training ground so that when we go to the world, we don't make the mistakes that we should have made in the training ground out in the world. Moms get us ready to go, to fire off and go into all the world and do what it is that God has called us to do. So it's God that gives us talents. It's God that gives us abilities. And He gives them in the natural realm and in the supernatural realm. He'll give them to us so that we can go out and be, every one of us are different. Just, man, just looking at our fingerprints. That's one of the way, you know, that we can be tracked or traced, or we can identify ourselves as different. Just every single one of us. Can you imagine that? Not one copycat in the world has the same fingerprint. Now, to me, that is more than just, deserves more than just, wow, that's kind of cool. I mean, millions upon billions of people that have been on the face of the earth, and not one of us have the same fingerprint. Man, how can that possibly be? Just changed it no matter what. But you see, when God gives us these supernatural and natural realms of ability and gifts and talents, I believe that He expects us to grow our potential. To grow our potential. And so spiritual maturity will always procure your potential. Spiritual maturity procures potential. Say that with me. Ready? Spiritual maturity procures potential. So whatever your potential is that God gave you, now God's going to say, okay, let me give you an opportunity, because God's not just going to go, okay, it's all up to you now. He's going to say, let me give you an opportunity to grow with. And He's going to help formulate a plan or an opportunity, maybe even sometimes a test. That He'll say, look, Rick, you're pretty strong in these certain areas, but where you kind of have a little bit of a hitch in your get-along, you know what I'm talking about. Come on now, we all have, us older people have our own language, don't we? Where you have a little hitch in your get-along, you got to work on that hitch. You got to work on some things because you're weak there. There's some things that after having a shoulder injury, that there's some things that I just couldn't swing that gun across much anymore. And I had to do some exercises and some therapy to even get my shoulder up. There was some weakness there. And it's the same way in our lives. A lot of us have a little bit of a holdback, or we're afraid to go there because it hurts. But you see, therapy says you got to work through the pain in order to get the gain, right? You got to work through that pain, because without the pain, there is no gain. If you don't step up to the plate and swing, if you have a swing and a miss, that's okay. You got two more tries. If you have a swing and a miss, you still have one more try. If you have a swing and a miss, you're going to go drink water. But that's okay, because when you're drinking that water, you're going to think, I need to keep my eye on the ball a little bit better. Are you following me? But the person that goes and sits on the bench and pouts instead of going to the batting cage and practicing is the person that does not procure their potential. It's the same way spiritually. If we don't get to the batting cage and practice with God and get into the Word and meditate on it, we're going to swing and a miss, swing and a miss, swing and a miss, and then all of a sudden discouragement sets in and the devil says, oh, aren't you just a poor little boy? Aren't you terrible at what you do? Here, have a mint. Isn't that true? Come on now. But when we gain revelation from God's word, it not only matures us spiritually, but it unlocks areas. Now get this, it unlocks areas of potential in Christ. You see, step by step, we enter into another realm of God's dominion of on earth as it is in heaven. If we're not bringing heaven down to earth, where there's it's not God, there's probably something we're not doing. There's probably something that we haven't done. So if you're not experiencing some of God's blessings in your life, it's probably time for you to say, you know what? What I've been doing isn't working because I'm really not experiencing all that God has for me. So therefore, why would I keep doing what I'm doing? That's like hitting the enter key on your computer harder and harder. Just I'll hit one more time and then it'll work. You know, no, that's just, that doesn't work that way. And so you need to get to the word and change up some things in your life. So spiritual maturity procures potential. Man, I can't imagine what goes on in God's mind. Every time he sees a conception in the womb of a woman, every single time God is God and he sees that conception. And oh, when he brings that baby to fullness and he brings that baby into the world and we hold that baby, all the potential to change the world is in our hands. Oh, if we could just grab that and understand that every day is so important for us dads to come home and be there every day. And for moms to be there to help raise these kids is so vital for them to get those investments every day of, no, you don't do that. Yes, do this. That's good. Good boy. Good girl. Way to go. That's the kind of thing we need. You know, yesterday at the mounted shooting event, we have to have what's called balloon setters. So when we shoot the balloons in the stage, then new balloons are brought out and put in the sticks. Let me tell you the impact that the young people of our church, the Source, were the ones that went and set the balloons to raise money to go to the Creation Museum. They raised $900 yesterday. In one day, yeah. Hey, I'm telling you, man, mounted shooting in Colorado is a big sport, and it is because we have great people shoot that are shooters, like Champ over here, you know. But yesterday, I don't know, what was there, 12 or so, 15 of our kids that were there? They had such an impact on the shooters that I got two emails today that said, your young adults, they impacted us with such a positive nature. They put something inside. They were so joyful. And we got to meet some of them and talk to them. And they were so full of God and everything that's going on in their life. It was amazing. And then the other one said, Rick, thank you for what your family has done, but also the impact of those young people yesterday. You know what they were doing? They were picking up kids from shooters that they didn't even know the kids, who then liked to run over there, and it was like a vacuum. It was sucking these little kids in. All of a sudden, our young people have these kids they've never met on their shoulders, running them out to change balloons. They made the funnest day out of it. Why? Because they have potential to reach kids. It's an anointing on them. There's a call of God on their life to reach people for Jesus. And if it's just picking up a kid and grabbing them and saying, hey, you want to go with me? Instead of, no, you're too little. Stay here. They picked them up and took them with them. See, church, that's what we have to get this mentality of. Let's train up the younger group. Let's help them see what we've accomplished and let them take it further than that. Oh, this is good stuff today. Everybody say this is good stuff. Amen. I appreciate that. I preach better when you tell me that. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 13. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. God, I want you to see the opportunity that God gave Israel to procure spiritual maturity. Did you get that? And thank you for looking down at your Bible and moving those pages around or flipping the phone or whatever it is. Just don't stop and text anybody unless it's get to third service. Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, look what it says. And the Lord God spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the commandment of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now, in order to get you up to speed here really quickly, in the 15 or 20 minutes I have left, listen. Israel had gone into slavery in Egypt, right? And Egypt was there, first of all, to live because they needed safety, and they were in a drought, and there was a famine. So they went there for safety. Then they started growing and multiplying so much that they began to take over. And Pharaoh said, if we don't stop this, if we don't enslave them and overcome them, they'll overcome us. So the Pharaoh put them into slavery and made them build all kinds of things in the land of Egypt. And so with that said, God got tired of that. And he says, it's time to take my children out and to give them the land of promise, the land of Canaan, to take them to a place that flows with milk and honey. And so God said, I'm going to raise up a man. And guess who he raised up? He raised up a guy named Moses, whose life was really in question if it hadn't have been for a mother who said, I got to spare my son's life. He's called of God. So she built a little reed bassinet, put him in the Nile. And lo and behold, if it wasn't just by coincidence, totally, that God brings Pharaoh's daughter. And long story short, he's raised as an Egyptian in the house of Pharaoh. Guess who they brought in to raise him? His mother. Isn't that a coincidence also? I mean, what are the odds? Probably zero to none. And all of a sudden, he's getting all of the investments of his mother, the milk of his mother, but also the words and the values and the encouragement. Probably on the side, she's saying, you don't look like an Egyptian, right? Because you're not one. You're a Jew. You're an Israelite. You're a child of God. And she probably was speaking into his ear, because at one point, he says, I can't take this anymore. And if you remember, he left Egypt, was cast out. And he went across the very wilderness that he would lead his children, his people across. And when he came back as the deliverer. He left as the runaway slave. He came back as the deliverer. And he delivered his children, his people, his fellow brothers and sisters from their embondagement. And as you know, God sent all kinds of plagues and all kinds of weather and all kinds of crazy things. And finally, Pharaoh said, go. Moses said, let my people go. And they left. Millions of them. To go out across the land of Paran. 11-day journey, the Bible says, to Kadesh Barnea. Where they would stand at the base of Mount Horeb. And there God would say, I called you out not to just make you a people, to make you a people of God. And to cause you to worship me on this mount. Mount Horeb. Mount Sinai. The place where it's called the thunderings of God. And the people would stand at the base of Mount Horeb and look up there, and they would see without any clouds anywhere else, just the clouds over Mount Horeb, and there would be thunderings and the voices of God. And Moses would go up, if you remember, and he got the Ten Commandments. And he was able to hear from God and walk with God. And then, as you know, the children of Israel wanted to go into the land of promise. They had gone to about halfway over it, and God says, go on to the border of the promised land. Man, God had taken them through the Red Sea. He had covered them with a cloud. He had watered them with a rock. He had fed them with quail. And every day, manna, bread from heaven, fell from heaven. Every day, they went out and they got it fresh. He said, don't store it, except for on the weekend, on Sunday. And then it stayed fresh. So here they are. The generation, one generation was going to now be told, you're going into the land of promise. They were all there, every single one of them. And look what it says. It says, God tells them, go into the land. Take one from each of the 12 tribes and go into the land of promise. In verse 21, it says, so they went up and they spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rahab, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, Talmon. The descendants of Anak were there. Everybody say, oh no. Everybody's afraid of Anak. I mean, he's a giant. He's 11 feet tall. 11 to 15 feet tall. Talk about dunking a basketball. I mean, dunking it like in coffee, you know. towering, if you can imagine, 5 feet over a 10-foot basketball rim. Some of us struggle to touch the net. These guys are over the top, reaching to the top of the backboard, anywhere from 11 to 15 feet tall. Isn't that amazing? It says in verse 23, and they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between two of them on a pole. When was the last time you went to King Soopers and got a cluster of grapes, and you had two men had to walk out with it on their shoulders? Today we have little tiny grapes. Back then they had real big grapes. You couldn't eat one for a meal. Could you imagine walking back to camp? Whoa, look at this, what we got. And yet there was something in their heart when they got back to camp. It says, and they returned from spying of the land after 40 days. They came back. They told him, we went in. In verse 28, it's in verse 27, it says, and they told him, Moses, and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Well, here we go. That's the report. And then here we go. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Their kneecaps were buckling. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Isn't that amazing? It's still, that stuff still happens today. Man, God delivered our family. He saved our marriage. We overcame all kinds of financial issues in our life. Oh, God helped us to get into a house when we couldn't buy a house. Oh, we overcame so many problems in our family that now our family is back together and God did a great work amongst us. And then something goes bad and they say, but I don't think he could do it again. He can't handle this problem. He can't handle this. Oh, I returned to church. I went back to River of Life. I went back to X Church. I went whatever. And God has done a great job in our life. And then all of a sudden we get restored and renewed. And then we say, but nevertheless, I need to go do this instead. And all of a sudden, it's a chipping away of what God can do. It happens to all of us. We're all faced with that potential. And we have to make a choice. Will I say nevertheless? Or will I say, quiet your mouth. Shut up. Let's look at the positive. You see, fear will always tell you what you can't do. God's word will tell you what you can do. He'll tell you who you are, what you have authority over, and what you can do. And I stand before you today, church, having watched many of you overcome adversities and overcome that nevertheless mentality and push on, right on through and get your point made with God. And so we see that Caleb, it says, quieted the people before Moses in verse 30 and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Man, I want to hang out with that guy, don't you? That's the guy I want. I don't want the guy whispering in my ear, man, we can't make it. This guy, the Anak are there. The Anak? Not the Anak. Do you realize what you said? You just sent fear all through Israel. Anak? Ah! David dealt with Anak and his Nephilim and all of them with a rock and a sling and dropped Goliath like a bad habit. Amen? That's how quick God can change things with a simple little rock and a simple little sling. Are you kidding me? One spot on Goliath's forehead was open from all the armor, and guess where that rock just happened to hit? It was like a lucky shot, man. Are you kidding me? That thing was guided like a ground-to-air missile by the hand of God, picked up speed. Could you imagine that? I just love to hear the sound effects today, you know, with all the technology. It's like slow motion. Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't you like to hear that? Everybody says amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, is it okay to have fun in church, or do you want me to just read this to you? Come on now. Everybody smile at me. Give me your best smile. Come on. If you don't smile, the ushers are going to drag you out. Hallelujah. Fear will tell you what you can't do. God's word will tell you what you can do. Amen. So here we go. Here they are. They said, we can't do it. Verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There they saw the giants, the descendants of Anak. How many times did he bring it up? They came from the giants, and listen to what they saw themselves. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. You see, the devil will use things like that to make you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you'll see the world that's bigger than God instead of the God that's bigger than the world. When the world says, what if this happens? God will say, even if that does happen, come on now, even if that does happen, I got you. Even if all that stuff is true, I got you. So what if they got a bigger weapon? So what if they got bigger tools? So what if they're bigger than you? The harder they fall, the greater the sound of the technology that's going with the rock. Amen. Come on now. Come on, see it as you can instead of I can't. Never quit. Never give up. You know something? I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1 before we close. Joshua chapter 1. Are you still here this morning? Come on, let's pick something up here. In Joshua chapter 1, God has told, well, when the children of Israel decided we're going to believe the bad report and we're not going in, God said, okay, you get what you get. I'll give you the right to choose defeat. I defend your right to choose defeat. God gives us that right. He'll defend your right to reject him and go to hell. He'll send every detour. He'll send every preacher. He'll send every single friend. He'll send people that you know or don't know into your path and into your life. He'll do everything in his complete and total power, short of telling you what you will do without your agreement. He will never overcome that. He'll always give you that choice. But he'll show you the benefits of one versus the benefits of rejection. Now listen. These people rejected God. And he said, okay, all of you 20 years old and below, you'll not go into the promised land. That's your payment. You'll not see it. You'll stay out. You'll die. So for 40 years, they waited until the last guy died off. Oh my God, I hope he dies soon. Do you think he has a cold? He's coughing a little bit. Maybe he has a cold. The last guy's hanging on. The Bible says for 40 years they wandered, but you know what? God, even though he let them reject him, he still said, your clothes will not wear out, your shoes will not get holes in them, and you'll never want a day in your life. They didn't wander. They were led by a cloud. They were covered by a cloud and watered by a rock, and manna fell every day, and quail flew in. God took care of them, even though they rejected him. But yet, because of their choice, he said, you can't go in. Only the young people. Raise them right. Start over. Have a new remnant. Get it right this time. And so after they all died off, there was just this remnant left, along with two of the spies that were left. Do you know who they are? Joshua and Caleb. Do you know Caleb? The commander of the army single-handedly threw all the Anaks and the Nephilim and the giants. He threw them out of the land of Canaan with the power of God. They got thrown out. They got back down. The Bible says they could only inhabit a small little section of the land of Canaan. But God's intention was they were completely supposed to leave, completely get out of the land of Canaan. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Candace, you can come. So here they are, the whole new remnant, the generation that's going to go forward. God says to Joshua, Joshua, you're the leader. Moses, my servant, he says in Deuteronomy chapter 34, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. If you want to know one situation where God takes someone, the Bible does not say God killed him. The Bible said he died. And God loved Moses so much. Moses and him were so close that the Bible says that God buried him in the land of Gosheth. And to this day, it says, no one has seen his grave. Wouldn't it be something to know God, to have honored God so much that he says, nobody's going to bury you. I got you. I'm going to plant you back in the earth. And I'm going to bring your spirit to be with me. That's how much God loved Moses. But he loves each one of us that much if we would just turn towards him and not be ashamed of the gospel. Ashamedness is a sign of immaturity. Hello? It's immaturity and lack of knowledge in who God really is and the strength that God really has. As we learned last week there in 1 Peter, it says that we are kept by the power of God. We are kept by him. And so here God is with the final opportunity for the land, for the children of Israel to go into the land of Canaan. Let's take 3 minutes here and just go over this. Look what it says in verse 5. God is speaking to Joshua, who is going to lead Israel along with Caleb. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you, Joshua, all the days of your life. In other words, there would be no one above you, so take up the authority that I've given you. No man will stand before you to judge you. I'll treat you like I did Moses. You'll be my top dog. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Put those words in your heart. I will not leave you nor forsake you. If he said it to Joshua and he said it to Moses, he'll give it to you because God is no respecter of persons. Be strong and be of good courage, verse 6. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their forefathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law. Now don't think this is just the law of Moses. It's the word of God that they had at the time, that they knew at the time. And while it was the Mosaic law, it recognized and it brought them to a point of recognizing sin. We are thankful. Why should we be not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because it brings us not only to the point of recognition of sin, but adds the additive of grace to receive salvation. To no longer be held for the wages of our sin, which would be death, but to say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross of Calvary and that your blood was shed for my life. A ransom for me that Adam and Eve didn't have. Moses didn't have. Abraham didn't have. Jacob and Isaac didn't have. They had a temporary lamb that they sacrificed on the altar, and Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice for us. I'm so thankful that the blood of Jesus covers our lives and covers our sin, covers the pain in our heart when sin occurs, brings us back in salvation to Jesus Christ, the only one that can do that something about our sin. He's the only one that can cover it and take care of it. And when you make Jesus your Lord and your Savior, if you haven't already done that, you've just changed eternal life from being with Satan in hell to being with Jesus in heaven. Is that too harsh for anybody? But let me tell you something. On the day of redemption, that will be the message. Did you serve Jesus? Did you know Jesus? And why wouldn't we want to practice now and get ready to go to go be with Jesus and our Lord and Savior instead of spending eternity in hell? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Now listen to this. that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, I tell you in the beginning of this message to bring your sword with you. Bring your playbook with you. Carry it with you wherever you go. This is the second Bible. I take good care of them, but it's starting to fall apart. My first Bible when we moved here 25 years ago has lasted me 25 years. But I promise you it's marked up and it's fallen apart and it's very well used. Make sure you use the Word of God and keep it near your heart. Keep it inside of your head. Plant it in the tablets of your life. Because when you observe and pay attention, look what the Word said. Here's a sliver. Let me give you a sliver of something that you need to take from me today. And that's this sliver of meditation in the church has not been appreciated. We read the Word and it's great, but meditation doesn't stop at a thought. For God included doing what you meditate. Meditation without action is faithless. James tells us that many times in his book. And so he says that you may observe, verse 8, to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You see, your prosperity is not my responsibility. It's your responsibility. My responsibility as your pastor is to give you the spiritual tools every day. Is game day for me. I wake up at 5 o'clock on Sunday mornings to prepare my heart. I'm up late at night getting ready to go. Why? Because this is the playroom where we put together the plays, our strategies to overcome the enemy. This is where I get my team, you, our families, ready to go. Why? Because the devil's not playing games with you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The minute God lifts his hands off of a person or a situation, immediately the devil, the Bible says, comes in to steal, to kill and destroy. He's not playing games. Why would we? Why would we play around with sin? Why would we dabble with it? Church, I'm coaching you. I'm pastoring you today. Get in this thing and meditate in it. And when you do, meditation is doing as well. Why learn something? I mean, we can't show up at the line of scrimmage in the game and say, oh, I forgot my helmet. Where's it at, Johnny? Oh, it's in the locker room, I think. I think I left it in the locker room. Well, go get it. We can't play without it. See, you can't live life without your sword. Keep the Word close. Keep it inside of you. Let the Holy Spirit write it on the tablets of your heart. But don't complain to me. Don't complain to me if you don't do that and things go awry. Come and ask me and we'll pray and we'll talk about it. We'll overcome it. But I don't want to hear you say, God didn't show up. This didn't happen. Well, did you read your Bible? No. Is it at home? Yeah. Where's it at? I don't know. Come on, we're going to walk through those things. Why? Because if I don't help you with that, you never get better. Amen? I want you to get better, not bitter. So we got to get stronger. Come on. Moms say that the best. Moms say it really well. The only time I ever caught my mom getting a little uppity with me was when she had told me to do something, and I walked away and said, okay, I'll do it. And I'm walking away, and I just looked over my shoulder, and she's like, ready to use her size 7s on me, you know? Just, about ready to kick me through the goalpost of life, you know? Come on, stand up with me. Hallelujah. You've been there too. And that thing walking out right over there, she's been kicked a couple times. Yep. Sometimes we got to be kicked. Say that with me, ready? Sometimes we got to be kicked in order to get attention, right? Can we say that in church, Pastor Mark?
Yes, sir.
All right. Turn around, I'll kick you. No, I love my associate pastor. I love this guy. He's my buddy. Yeah. Amen. Do you know somebody that needs Jesus? Don't be ashamed Did you hear the boldness in me today? I'm not ashamed. I'm willing to tell you the truth. If Paul was here, he would say, you got to go stronger than that. Because he was strong. He said, don't be a pansy. We were told in coaching school that from here forward, you can't say pansy. I told the players one day, leave your purse in the locker room. You can't say leave your purse in the locker room. How many times did I tell you that, Adam? Huh? Or you heard, not you, because you were tough, but how many times did you hear me say that? A lot, he says. Or JT Erickson would tell you that, and so would your son, which they all, you know, played together. They would say that coach always says, that's crap. That's just crap. Now do it again and get it right. Because, see, you can't win anything in life unless you do God's word right. Amen? And so why would I tell you, it's okay. Just do whatever you want to do. And on your way out, have a cup of coffee on us. Come on, man. That's planning to lose. I want you to win. I want you to win. You go to CSU and you win. You win kids to Christ. Get over here and let me pray for you right now. Walk over here quick. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands this way. In the name of Jesus, you're going to change souls. You're going to change lives. Fort Collins or Wellington, get out there and change lives and fill them with the Holy Spirit because you know who you are in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Today's a day of change in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, be changed. Now I want you to walk down that aisle and you pray for somebody and you pray for somebody. Get over here. Let me pray for you. You two right here. In the name of Jesus, I just pray in Jesus' name, world changers and life changers. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, make sure, Lord, that you're doing something inside these kids that is sure and fortified, that nothing that comes against them will succeed, but everything, every weapon formed against them will not succeed. For God has spoken and he's calling you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every young person, in the name of Jesus, run down here. If you're under the age of 20, run down here. Run up here. Quick. Under the age of 20, get out and come here. Time's running. Come on, run up here. In the name of Jesus, get up here. Hallelujah. Get up here in the name of Jesus. You're the next generation. If you're not strong, who's going to be? Turn your backs to them and face me. Turn your backs to them and face me if you're under the age of 20. All right. Hallelujah. This is the future of our church, the future of our community. Hallelujah. Extend a hand this way. Gabe, you get up here. Are you over 20? You are? Well, then get up here. Help me pray for him. Who is 21? Get up here. All right, you, Gilbert, come on up here, brother. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray for you right now. And we extend the love of Jesus Christ upon your life. Because you're the future of this church. You're the future of our community, the future of our generations. In Jesus' name we pray. May there be an outpouring amongst you that changes every single person in this town of Wellington and northern Colorado. And I call forth every anointed message that's ever been placed inside of you to take seed, take root, and become fruit in Jesus' name. I pray that there would be a boldness upon you, that there would not be an ashamedness of any realm of all at all upon about Jesus Christ and the power of God unto righteousness. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that there will be a strength, that their story and their message will hold water. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that there's a power that's come upon them. It's a power from on high to overcome and to do great things. And may they follow the generation right ahead of them and that generation ahead of them. That, Lord, as your word says, generation upon generation shall follow God. And Moses said, without your glory, I will not go forward with all these generations. I will not go forward without your glory. So, Lord, let your glory fall upon this generation. That, Lord, they'll prosper because of who they are in Christ. Oh, we thank you for schooling and education. We thank you for what they want to go and do in life. But may they take you with them all the days of their life, wherever they go. Hallelujah. Oh, church, give a shout to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A day of breakthrough. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm proud of all you kids. I'm proud of you. Keep walking with God. In the name of Jesus, keep walking with God. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Love you all. Have a great day, church. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.